French. Some guys like it quiet. Some guys like it loud. This is.
You know, Gatorade needs to look like he needs some exercise. I don't know.
Of course, the conditions now that he has to play the shot test anyone.
You knew he would. You knew he would.
Oh my goodness.
They've come a long way together, Jim, those two. It's a great story.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome into Dialed In, a podcast by the High Cotton Club. This is episode 80, coming to you from High Cotton headquarters. I'm your co-host, John Stew. With me, as always, Lefty Sauce, Connor Hendrickson.
How you doing, buddy?
I'm here. Is it episode 80 or 81? I think it's 81.
Who knows these things?
Camel knows. We'll talk about that later. But hello, everybody. We have a lot going on in High Cotton Country, as always, and excited to dive into it all with you all today. Thank you so much for tuning into this episode. We have Clay Doty joining us here in just a minute. So excited to recap the Farmers Cup with him. It was a great weekend with the Crossroads Coop up at beautiful Park Mammoth in Central Kentucky. Shout out Park Mammoth. Shout out the Crossroads Coop. It was truly a great weekend, a weekend that we'll look back on finally in the High Cotton Club. But a few things that we want to talk about before we get into that with Clay and then some stuff later on in the episode. But just make sure that you guys are aware of the High Cotton Classic. Not only is it live, the registration closes next weekend, March 16th. Registration for the High Cotton Classic, the 7th edition here in Tennessee. We are incorporating Kentucky into that Tennessee bracket, and Alabama gets its own bracket of 16 as well. The registration closes March 16th. So if you want to be in that field of 16, make sure you get registered through Unknown Golf and pay your entry fee through Venmo. All that information is via Unknown Golf. You can find that in our Instagram links, bio, stuff like that, as well as your Unknown Golf player portal. Just like the Salute on April 10th and the Education on April 28th, these are your last two opportunities to qualify for the Showdown at the Legacy in June. These are your last two opportunities to qualify for the Showdown at the Legacy in June. Do I need to say it one more time, or do you think they got it?
Nah, I'll say it again.
I'll say it all the way through. The Salute on April 10th and the Education on April 28th are your last two opportunities to qualify for the Showdown at the Legacy in June. The Showdown is our season-ending event. Going to be some great swag, some cool stuff with raffles, stuff like that, as well as an opportunity to qualify for our NLU Roost Regional Qualifier. So make sure that you get involved with these two events if you're not already qualified, or maybe you are trying to keep somebody out of those spots, but get involved with these two events. They're going to be great. We always have the Salute at Vinnie Links on the Wednesday of the Masters. Our salute to, you know, Donald Ross, his influence here in Nashville, as well as what they're going on down. What they always have going on down at Augusta National with their par three contest. And then the Education in the past, it was Tennessee versus Alabama, but now East versus West, splitting right down the middle with I-65. Need some more players to get involved with this so that we can fill the field out. But really not too many opportunities left in that field, so get involved quickly. As well as the Extinction, the wait list is I'm just letting you know it's probably a good idea to join that wait list. That's all I'll say about that. And then, yeah. Farmers Cup W. How about that?
You love to see that. Our wraparound season is waning, coming down to the end. But we, as we talked about before, the High Cotton Classic to me is like the Masters. It kind of feels like the start of the golf season, though.
Exactly.
Like that's when everything gets kicked off. The weather's turning, the days are getting longer, and you get to find out who's been putting in the work all winter.
Exactly.
You can't fake it in the Classic.
You cannot. And we talk about that a little bit with Clay. So let's go ahead and dive on into that. Clay is brought to us by AAA Glass. Dilly D was up there at the Farmers Cup this past weekend, representing AAA Glass. AAA Glass is a locally owned company in High Cotton Country since 2003. They specialize in auto glass and shower doors, and no job is too big or too small. They can handle any glass vehicle or shower, from residential homes to hotels and apartments. They are located all over the southeastern United States, with brick-and-mortar locations in Tennessee, Alabama, Georgia, Florida, Mississippi, and Kentucky. They can service any of the High Cotton Club members with fantastic customer service and a quick response time. They have embodied the Southern hospitality that the High Cotton Club is known for. I'm done saying it. I'm done saying the line. Is that okay?
Queen City guys pay double.
That's what Dylan says. But
say it.
And as always, Queen City members are charged double. It's not like he's in North Carolina anyway. It's just, it feels like a little bit of salt in the wound at this point. Like, we won. We have declared our dominance, just like we did this past weekend up at Park Mammoth. So I think we go ahead and dive it, shoot it over to Clay. What do you say?
Yeah, Dylan's petty, though. I like that.
I like that, too. We're all a little petty. That's what makes us the High Cotton Club. And without any further ado, let's dive into the Farmers Cup recap with Clay. Stick around after for some more Mother Clucker, High Cotton Classic, stuff like that. It's a great episode, and we thank you for tuning in. Welcome in, High Cotton Club squad captain for the Farmers Cup, Mr. Clay Doty, a.k.a. Dugger23 on the Refuge. Clay, how you doing up in Indiana, brother?
Doing good, man. How y'all doing down there?
We were a lot better when we were bantering back and forth before this, and your delay wasn't that bad. But hey, we're gonna battle through this. We're gonna get it dialed in as we always do on a podcast by the High Cotton Club. Because last weekend, it was one of those weekends. We'll talk a lot about it, but you know, that night I was just really, really proud of the High Cotton Club, and so I'm excited to dive into this. Before you even got down there, though, and I want to hear a lot of your takes on this weekend, but before you got down there, Friday sucked. Friday was one of the most miserable experiences I've ever had on a golf course. For those who weren't there, shout out the Crossroads Coupe guys who did drive down and participate in the practice round. It was cold-ish. It was not dumping rain, but it was soaking rain almost the entire time. Definitely for the front nine. I quit after the front nine. I rode around, but I stopped playing because ribs were hurting. It was wet. We had business to handle the next day. But yeah, shout out those guys for battling through that. Shout out our guys for doing so as well. You know, D-Ball played some good golf as he always does in that rain. It was super impressive stuff from some of those guys out there. But getting into the weekend itself, Clay, how was the trip down, and what were your impressions of the weekend?
Trip down was pretty good. I wasn't quite as miserable as y'all sitting in the truck driving down Friday, but I called you at one point, and I could just tell, like, in the old refuge bits of, like, they got a pole or something, there's always that option of dents and butt hurt. You were very much on the dents and butt hurt scale with the weather and all that, but no, I got a nice early start to the morning, so I was able to get down there mid-afternoon, get to catch up with y'all, and I could tell driving down, like, it was... We needed the weather to turn quickly because it was cold, it was rainy, and just had the wipers going the whole way down 165 and all that. But overall, it turned into an awesome day on Saturday. I was nervous all morning seeing the gray skies and all that bundled up and all that. And I think on the third hole, my hoodie was off and I was into a short sleeve shirt and a vest. That helped a ton. And the way that we played absolutely helped my mood even more.
Yeah, playing well always helps, doesn't it, too?
Yeah.
That was most of the time, but you're talking about that round on Friday. Man, there's nothing – I'll take cold any day. I don't like wet, and I certainly don't like cold and wet. That my Friday, I was in Tampa playing Copperhead, and it was 82 degrees and sunny. You see, I got a little glow going here, a little color. But I was following. I watched.
Must be tough. Somebody's got to do it, though.
Yeah. I was getting my teeth kicked in.
Well, I mean, there were other folks getting their teeth kicked in as well on Saturday. And you know, that's not throwing any shade, but we talked about it leading up to this. If the High Cotton Club was ever going to lose one of these, it felt like it was going to be this one. And that was not the case, was it, Clay?
No. So Connor, D-Ball, and we all stayed at Connor's house Friday night, and we were all talking through it and about what we were actually talking about what we needed to do to win and what needed to go right for us to win. And in the end of the day, our guys just showed up and took care of business. We were all kind of nervous about a few of the pairings, a few of the matchups, how we'd play. And other than a few guys, we got off the bus and kind of whooped their ass. I mean, I really like the Crossroads guys. They're great people, but the scoreboard, it was a lot bigger margin than I was expecting. I'll put it that way. I was in the previous pod, we were talking about it, and I was going to predict we won by eight total points. So 1 point per foursome. And I think we ended up winning by 47.
Yeah. I was really surprised when we were coming, we were on our way to the airport and I pulled it up and I was like, wow. That's when I called you and I called D-Ball, and we had pretty much half our team hit their, you know, pretty much hit their handicap or better. It seemed like I was just looking at the gross scores and there was a lot of good scores and it was all High Cotton at the top. I think there was one Coop that was in the top five.
Yeah. I mean, I went back and looked at the net leaderboard at the end, and I think of the top 10, there were three Coop members in the top 10 and the rest was all High Cotton. And of 20 and below out of 32 guys, there were only three High Cotton guys, 20 and below, myself included, unfortunately. But dumping one in the water on 7 will get you.
Well, you know, Connor, sometimes we just gotta remind people. Every now and again.
It very much felt like we almost had to remind ourselves, right? Like it's been a little while since we've kind of had this opportunity. A bunch of new guys without this experience with a little bit of a larger field. I think that I got more nervous with the rain on Friday because our guys do have the benefit of having the experience in Park Mammoth. And we talked about how, you know, at the Roost Club Championship, everybody saw Sweetens when it was wet and was like, oh, so this is what we're going to play for the next couple of days. And I was afraid that the guys at Park Mammoth were seeing a wet golf course that was going to stay that way, whereas our guys are used to the more dried out version. But I think we were able to adapt quickly. We talked about it that night as well, or after the round, like when it is a little bit wetter like that on a golf course like that, and it becomes more target golf, it lends itself to the better player and to the player who can, succeed in the moment. And so our guys were able to do that. Take 16, for example, the long par three, Beastu with the closest to the pin, not to take anything away from him. Have we ever held an event there where that would have held the closest to the pin?
I was the first group out and none of us hit the green.
Okay, fair point. And nobody else knows where it was. So a bad question. But it was probably 65 feet away in the back right and the pin's front left. And I was on the fringe. Nobody else hit the green and nobody was closer than that. Like it, a hole that is built to not be target style when it's forced to be target style just changes the golf course. And I'm really proud of the way our guys adapted, fought, and overcame.
Was it wet? You couldn't run it up?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So you just got to. You got a 235 yard downhill par three that you got to fly the number.
Yep.
Yeah.
So that
it was flying.
Okay. So you said Stu got it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was playing 215 adjusted with wind into off the left. And I mean, that I'll admit that really got in my head and I absolutely double crossed one and got lucky it stayed in because I mean, you're sitting there and you're like, well, the wind really isn't that bad. And then you remember this ball is going to hang in the air for months. And
in that case, it's playing harder. Like how often are you going to hit a 215 club and hit it on the button where you're going to carry the number you're trying to? Whereas before, when it's firm, if you miss it a little, it, it can jump right up on the green for you.
Yeah.
Where we're going to do that. So I can see where that golf course would probably play a little bit tougher than when it's playing soft than when it's playing firm, because when it's playing firm, you can get away with a little bit more.
Yeah. There are certain places that if you missed the greens, it was so spongy around the greens that you didn't have a whole lot of stuff that you could do. So it was tough to get it tight. And that's not, none of this is to take anything away from like Park Mammoth or the Grounds Crew. Place got bumped on, and they were more than accommodating, letting us take carts. The greens were in phenomenal shape.
Yes.
And we talked about it after the round. D-Ball, Turley, and I went to grab Raising Cane's. Please sponsor this pod, Raising Cane's. And I think that might have been the best collection of 18-hole pin locations I've seen at Park Mammoth. It was banger after banger after banger after banger. I mean, there were a couple that you might see more often than others, and because of that, you might think less of them, but it was just a phenomenal set of hole locations. Course was in great shape for everything that they were dealing with. So shout out Park Mammoth. Can't thank them enough for hosting us, as they always do.
Yeah, I mean, Stu, just to put it in perspective, there were a couple pins that I've only seen when we set them for the extinction. Like, three was in the back left, just over that bunker. Nine was on the back tier, which I never see it back there. 11 was even tucked on the back left. Like, it was on a shelf I didn't even know existed until this round. And they did a really good job of mixing it up. And like, you had some where they went in and so-called played the hits, like the funnel pin on eight, things like that. But a lot of them, they really did have, you had to hit a golf shot to get to them. And I mean, I'm proud as hell of our guys and how they executed on the day.
Well, getting back to the competition and the margin of victory, you were talking about how you expected it to be, Clay, maybe eight points. Stu, you said you were surprised when you checked it. When I missed a birdie putt on two, I thought, shit, I hope that's not the point, right? Mm-hmm. And then Ian has like a four-footer on eight or seven. I'm not giving it to him because I don't want it to be the point. And then it just developed in a way where it was pretty clear that we were in control. And Tanner wants to know, Clay, what do you attribute the High Cotton Club's success over the past 2 years in this event to? Because it's clear that we've just been able to, you know, go out there and execute.
I would say, honestly, the biggest attribute is the High Cotton Classic. So I believe that every single member of our team has played in a High Cotton Classic at this point. And with that, we are battle tested in match play. Like, I mean, y'all were both there for my first ever High Cotton Classic round. I shit down my leg. Like, I had the hammer hands out my ass and it was bad. Like, I couldn't hit I three putted six straight greens, I think, or five straight greens at one point.
Could have beat Jack that day.
Yeah.
I should have beaten Jack that day, honestly.
It was a tough scene, but you had a chance.
I had him in the first half, but my putter did not have me. But no, I mean, and with that though, I've then continued to play more match play through the High Cotton Classic. I'm signed up again for this year. That inspired me to get involved in my club's match play. I know there's a number of our guys, like my partner from this past weekend, Ricky, he made it to the 19th hole in the champions bracket at GCC in match play last year. Like, and there's a lot of our guys that play match play at their home courses or just play in our High Cotton Classics and play the fall edition. I can't make the fall work just because it's too tough to work my schedule from 2.5 hours away to meet up with a partner and two other guys. But that's a huge attribute that our guys have. And it's shown. I mean, we haven't lost a Roost versus Roost battle yet. Plain and simple, we've won every single one of them we've been in. And we've come in second back-to-back years in a match play competition. And this year we took it, what, two or three extra holes away from, I mean, it took.
We're not talking about all that.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing.
We're having Vietnam flashbacks over here.
It's supposed to be a good talk.
Our guys are battle tested. I'll put it.
I'm about to flip this freaking table.
Go Pharisee in here. But yeah, no, I think that's a pretty solid answer, Stu. I mean, do you agree?
Oh yeah, match play is the truest form of competitive golf, and I think I've said it before on here that no matter who we take to regionals and nationals, they've earned it and they're going to be ready because of how competitive our events are, the formats we play. We really tailor, or you rather, tailor the events to prepare everyone for the chance that if you're on regionals, on nationals, you will be prepared to play. You will be the most prepared there. We're like Tiger Woods and his dad. Tiger Woods' dad said, you'll never beat anybody more mentally strong than you. And that's just through all the events that we play through. I honestly think the toughest competition is right here in high cotton country. So we push each other and prepare each other.
I hope that's something that people don't lose sight of. You know, I know that it is tough, but like iron sharpens iron. And I think that we've seen a bunch of guys get involved and improve their game after getting involved, getting pushed, seeing, you know, how rounds are put together, seeing better golfers play, and then getting involved in these match play competitions like the High Cotton Classic. More experience, a little more knowledge.
I mean, just look at the NIT. Of the five of us that went, three of us were in it. Two of them were in the same flight. The other one came in second in that flight. So it's, I mean, when you're at a competition, you're kind of just looking at each other saying, you know, probably four of the five or six best golfers are probably right here. Like we don't have that many guys to beat because that's how we walk into an event. We're prepared. We're ready to go.
And I said when we were kind of wrapping up the event, Clay, and I do want to get into the exact event leaderboard, but I did say, like, and I've been a little hard on Alan, but, you know, behind the scenes, but it's trying to get them to not, you know, get to our level, but fill a little bit of that fire, right? Like, mm-hmm. just, you know, a little bit of help through osmosis, you know, playing the hill a little bit. I don't know exactly what I've been doing. You know, there's been good intentions, and I think that the Roost world could use a little bit more of that. And, you know, I would like to see more Roost follow a format like we do, where we're really building people up and challenging people throughout the year so that when it does get to the end, it's not just who played the most or who got lucky in one event, you know, that type of stuff. Because like Stu said, the guys who earn it. And as we're winding down our calendar, like, I'm excited to see who earns it again.
Yeah, I mean, you want to push each other. Like, you're talking about your relationship with Alan. Like, you kind of want to poke a little bit just to see if any fire kicks up or anything. It's
absolutely.
Like, it's like I still get made fun of because I shot 90 at the first regional at Swope. Like, to this day, I still have to live with that, and it's like it just makes you work harder.
I'll always deal with
it's like I'll never let myself shoot 90 ever again.
Yeah, I'll always deal with the grip thing and all these different things, but you know what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. And the High Cotton Club was stronger this weekend. Clay, run through the leaderboard for us. Tell us exactly what happened.
So looking at it, and I'm going to go through the actual matches, not the gross or the net leaderboards. I mean, looking at the net leaderboards, there were seven guys that beat their handicap. One was in the coop. That just shows how things went.
I will say, but
like, you I mean, know, just going through looking at it, we only handicap. Lost looking at traditional math.
Go ahead. I was just saying 75% handicaps. Mm-hmm. Just want to put that out there.
And so looking at that,
everybody's beating them. That's it.
Yeah. I mean, looking at it, we only lost a total of two of the four ball matches. And one of those admitted, or three of the four ball matches. One of those was mine. I mean, and I'll freely admit, I was nervous. I do not check leaderboards. I didn't check the leaderboard for the first time until the 18th tee. Whenever I saw the group chat was going off saying, let's go, things like that. Everyone was getting excited. And because standing on 11 tee, D-ball came up to me and said, we won by 3 points. How'd y'all do? I said, we lost by one. He said, well, shit, Connor and them lost by one. But then the rest of the guys picked us up on that. And Turley and them won by three. Wes and them won by two. Appleton won by two. Tanner and Dylan lost by two. And then Lane and JT won by two. So, I mean, we came out and we took care of business. And I'll admit, D-ball coming up and saying that to me was the best thing that could have happened for my round, because I'd already, and I really enjoyed playing with Gibby and Rob, but they thoroughly pissed me off on the eighth hole. Like, me and Ricky, we hadn't won a hole going into eight, and they decided they were going to move it up. And we took eight all the way up to the red tees, and so they gave me four wood in my hand from 240 yards on a par four where I was getting a stroke. And that's what pissed me off about it. Dumped it in the shit, but then got up and made a four for three from 100 yards out in the heather. And after that, that kind of lit a fire under my ass and got me going the rest of the way. Connor, you knew that T-ball wasn't going on the green. You can shake your head as much as you want, but you knew that ball wasn't going on the green because I was pissed off.
Did you hit it right in the heather on the right?
Yeah.
Where was the pin at?
Front right. So it was a funnel pin.
That's still a good yard. Score, though.
It's a 100-yard flip wedge. I mean, it's easy.
You were only 240 to start with.
So. No, he was – yeah, like Turley hit two iron on the green. So I'm trying to figure out how you still had 100 yards.
It's like you're only 240 to start second with. Shot.
Like, brother, my ball, my divot – for one, there was a divot on a four wood. For two, the divot started 3 inches behind the ball. And was pointing straight right. Like, it's not that complicated, Connor. Not everyone's a ball striking Jesse like you are.
Did you have a muscle spasm on the way down?
No, I tried to use my hip.
Things escalated quickly. We don't know how these things happen.
Yeah, things escalated quickly. I got it up and down in three from 100 yards out. Easy par. But it ended up being a four for three, and that kind of lit a fire under me and Ricky. I'll freely admit he and I could not buy a putt on the front nine. I missed three separate putts of 5 feet and into either push or win holes. And then on the back, I won the first four or first three holes. The only one I didn't win was 12. And that kind of just lit me up. And I ended up closing out the match, would have been in traditional match play on 15. And Ricky admittedly didn't have his best stuff that day, but he grinded. And he grinded out a 3-point win as well in singles. And then from there, it got ugly quickly in singles. I'll put it that way. I'll freely admit my roommate for the extinction just decided to go scorched earth on somebody. And good old Austin Gervais won 8.5 of a possible 9 points over Brad Crone. Turns out, unfortunately, Brad bringing 10 clubs may not have been the best call. I'm not going to lie. Because Gervais played his ass off, and having Kreider and Turley, D-ball, B-stew, and I mean, me and Ricky won by three. No offense, Connor, but the only one of the first six guys out that didn't win by at least, or didn't win their match, was Connor. And after that, it was the route was on. They didn't win another one until the second to last pairing. But you know what? We picked him up. I know Connor, the weather had got him down the day before, and it had been a tough 48 hours, we'll put it that way. And the rest of the boys.
The fire is still going. I haven't put this fire out yet. But, you know, like.
In your defense, you hadn't swung a club in like 4 months.
Yeah.
The ribs, I was fine until I was actually like, I missed that birdie putt on two. I was even par through three, and I tried to hit a high cut on four, and ribs popped on that, and never felt good after that.
High was a mistake. I regretted that decision immediately.
Bad idea. I tried to do it again on 12, hit two balls out of bounds, but you know, but I mean, shout out Ian. Like,
he's their one guy that shot under par net.
Yeah, despite like me not having my best stuff and being in pain, like. I would have needed my best stuff to go out and beat him.
Yeah.
So, you know, just hats off to him. He was a whole lot of fun to be around, to play with. Like you said earlier, I had a bunch of fun just being around the entire coop, a bunch of good guys. And so I really do appreciate them coming down. It was fun to battle in that group. Great things to say. And I said it at the beginning, I'm on my heels now. This is completely turned. I'm fighting for my life. I said at the beginning, like, I was proud, and this is one of the proudest I've been in the High Con Club, and it was because of that. I've always felt Like, I've been in a position to need to lead through my play as well as everything that I do off the golf course, right? And I need to be one of those guys that people can count on. And it wasn't a position that I automatically put myself into. I felt like I kind of earned my way into that position and maintain that position. And this is the first time that I've like really let that down. And for everybody else to just come roaring up and to pick me up like they did, like, it's all right, Cap. Like, you don't have to win today. We got you. And that, you know, it was a great feeling to think, like, we've always talked about if regionals were more than four, how much stronger we would be. And this was just a testament to that. And so I can't shout out our team enough. Like, really, really proud of this crew, proud of the club overall, and very thankful for this opportunity.
How about my, I talked on the podcast we had with Alan, where we were kind of going over the, I told you the team I would not want to face is Lane and JT, and they tied for most holes won. They won 5 of the 9 holes. Tell you, I know Lane didn't have his best stuff, but he's going to be fine. But talk about year of murder. Like, JT's coming for blood this year. I've played with him a couple times, and I'm telling you, he's picked up like 25 yards off the tee. It's
played with him Friday, and I thought he was just a little off. Just the rain got his ball position a little off. I think, yeah, I thought he was going to be fine. Turns out he was
more. He's going to be, he's going to be some trouble.
Yeah.
Clay, when we start, go ahead.
I was going to say, like, just reiterating again, we won 13 of 16 singles matches. I mean, that's about as dominant as you can ask for at that point. 5 of 8 four ball matches and 13 of 16 singles matches. And our guys that lost in four ball, they combined to lose a total of 1 of their 6 singles matches.
So, I mean, all those stats just call me out, but that's fine.
No, you actually, sorry.
Yeah, no, four I'm the six. One. Yeah, yeah.
No, you aren't the only one. You're one of
Okay, two. Perfect. Anyways, I'm fine with being that guy for this time.
Did you take the, what was your takeaways from the day? Did you take away anything good
from my golf game?
Yeah,
absolutely.
Okay. That's all that matters.
Avoid the high cut for now. We'll get past that. But anyways, when we start thinking about the future of this event, Alan mentioned, you know, doing it again next year. I told him, you know, pick a venue to host us, but Park Mammoth, is this just the right venue for it? I think it's a little far for those Northern Indiana guys, right? Is that the holdup?
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing is from Fort Wayne, it is every bit of six and a half hours to get down there. I mean, if the bad part is to do it in Indiana in March, which is kind of just a good time of the season, you got to get lucky on weather. Like, y'all saw it last year at Quail, it was cold and miserable. And that was not a bad day for the early March in Southern Indiana. And that's not even thinking about Indianapolis or Fort Wayne is – it could be snowing next week in Fort Wayne for all we know. But just with that, I think Park Mammoth is as good of a venue that we can get that's neutral on location. I mean, it's probably still 4 or 5 hours for D-ball to get up there. And some of the guys from Tennessee, it's at least 4 hours for them as well. I love that course. It is an awesome match play course. This is the third time I've played match play out there. And I love it. It gives you so many options, and I would love to make that a permanent host for this event. But I also completely understand if Alan wants to take it back to his home state as well.
Yeah, I wouldn't blame him for that at all. But it was nice being able to – I really like the format change that we had to where it was 9 holes 4 balls, 9 holes singles.
Yeah.
And that raised the question, at least for me in the Discord. Last year we swept, but was this a more dominant performance?
Statistically, no, but realistically, yes, in my opinion. Last year, we won a higher percentage of the points last year because, you know, I'm a nerd. I got to do the math, all that crap. But overall, I felt like this really was asserting some authority.
How did it look?
Yeah, with all of the like, it looked bad when you looked at the total points. I started clicking on the other leaderboards. I was like, this can't be the right one. Like, it couldn't have, because I said it on the pod. I was like, I think this is going to be really close. Mm-hmm. Like, I thought I was on the wrong leaderboard. So
yeah, Clay, you said I was the clinching point with my have on 18 in the third tee time.
Yep. I did not say that as nicely, but look at this. Connor has a bad day and still gets the freaking clinching point. Shocker. Shocker.
Hey, man.
What's the one thing you asked for me to do whenever I was setting teams?
Put me somewhere that mattered.
And it did.
I didn't want to be one of the final groups where like it was already over. And so you put me somewhere that mattered, and I didn't deliver. But hey, if I had delivered, it would have been over before we got to 18. So, you know, yeah. I was just there for the drama, baby. But truly, we've talked about this longer than I anticipated because it was a great weekend. I can't thank the Crossroads Coop. Alan, it sounded like Rob put together, is that right? Put together the lodging?
It was Alan and Paul. Rob actually helped. He and Paul did, they cooked each night.
They were staying
out in the middle of nowhere. And so they just said, okay, whatever. And that's why Rob was actually gone before presentation and all that, is he got back and he was already back prepping dinner for everybody else while they were off at the bar grabbing a drink and stuff like that. And they had a hell of a bonding experience, I'll put it that way. I mean, they had two full cabins full of guys. Evidently, Teeps was absolutely running people on the pool table like we all predicted. I offered Rob a beverage at one point, and Rob said absolutely not, because evidently the bourbon had gotten flown a little bit Friday night as predicted. But it sounds like they had their version of the Sweet and Siege night that you, me, Walt, Matt Britton, all of us always talk about. Gervais, they had that night, I think, at the Farmers Cup this year.
You gotta watch that first night of a golf trip. It'll sneak up on you in a hurry.
Yeah.
Hey, we gotta remember that for Jackson this year, guys.
You call that the Sweet and Siege night. I call that the float night. But either way, nights like that and nights like the Overlook at Limestone Springs are kind of, it's a great building board or, launching point for the Roost. And I'm glad that they were able to get that bang experience like we've been able to get a few times and like we're going to be getting at the Mother Cluckers. So without any further ado, Clay, thank you so much for your time. Thank you for everything that you did for this event. Again, thank you to everybody from the Crossroads Coop. Shout out our freaking team, man. High Cotton Club, like, dogs,
better don't play that shit.
Thanks, Clay.
Thanks, y'all.
My oh my, that was something. Quite a little segment there with Clay.
Yeah, I wish we just kept it recording though, because we had some pretty good B-reel stuff. after we were done.
I really want to do that content idea.
Apparently Clay's going to get golf lessons, and he put on, I guess it's a questionnaire before you go in, what he'd like to work on. And he put in there that he wants to learn to use his legs. I told him he had to roll up in a wheelchair. It just really freaked the guy out.
That would be just an incredible video. Get canceled for it, but golly, what a reaction video that would be. But thank you to Clay for joining us. Hope you all enjoyed that. We talked about it a little bit at the end with Clay. The Mother Clucker is one of those overnight weekends and trips that the Crossroads Coop got to experience last weekend coming down here. Well, we're headed south as well. It's kind of funny. They're headed south to here to try to get away from bad weather. And still we're headed south from here to try to get into even better weather. So the Mother Clucker is one of those trips that really I was excited to start last year. So excited that we went back in the fall. We may have burnt this bridge or burnt this candle a little too long now. Not quite the field participation that we got last year, but we've talked about it in the past. We're just at a different time and place. This is still a great event and a great weekend that I'm very excited to get into with these guys.
Yeah, I mean, you can't beat that place. It's so good. But it is a haul too.
Yeah.
I mean, it's what, 5.5 hours down there. I mean, it's a haul. I mean, it's not for everyone.
For sure. And it is a full weekend, so I totally understand. But it's a great venue, and I'm excited to get these guys going on. To talk a little bit about these teams, and we'll preview the field a little bit. Two guys from the Splash of OJ, Drew Shadrick, who's been kind of a National High Cotton Club fringe guy, bringing John Schattinger, who we met in the past. So it's going to be great to see those guys. The Splash of Shad is how they've been deemed. I thought that was pretty good.
Yeah.
Myself and Lane Sharts, Night Train Lane from the Refuge, nicknamed us the Dog Squad. I think that's pretty self-explanatory there, especially headed back to Mississippi State. My buddy Ben McAdams and Aaron Mata, they're coming down from Chicago, calling them the Chi-Town Elite.
It's got a good ring to it.
I think that does. Ben, a four, but a pro, so he's going to have to play as a scratch.
Those are the stupid Connor rules he puts in place. I hate to see that.
And then Aaron just got his handicap reinstated. Still pretty new to the game, a 21. So a scratch and a 21. This could be very, very interesting to see how that team plays. But Ben, been grinding. Excited to see how that turns out. The champs, the defending champs, Will Robinson and his father, Kevin, coming back to defend their title. I don't know what this event would be without him.
Yeah, I wonder if his dad plays as much as Will does.
Can't. Right?
It's impossible.
Well, I'm saying, yeah, I mean, you can't be a 20 and play that much golf, right? The ringers, Jackson Bell and Lane Rockensock. Lane filled in for somebody late who had to drop out, and then his partner had to drop out this past week, so Jackson filling in for him. So the ringers, just two high cotton club guys going to battle together. Pretty cool there. A 5 and a 7. I think that's the closest handicap range outside of me and Lane. We're 6 and a 5, and Drew and John, they're 13, 14. So a 5 and a 7 could be something to deal with.
Yeah, those golf courses are pretty tough, though. I wonder, because they play so different, mm-hmm. wet and dry. So, and they play so different from each other, too. Mm-hmm. But it'd be interesting to see what kind of conditions you guys get down there.
Yeah, I'm scared to keep talking about that. So we will move on to the Bama boys. Jackson Mitchell at an 11 and Andrew Houghton reading as a scratch. I'm going to take that as what it is. Not saying that reading that as there's no issue with his handicap and that he's truly a scratch. That could be a very, very dangerous team. If he's just a really good player going out on those golf courses and Jackson can take advantage of some strokes, I could definitely see them being in that final match on Sunday.
Yeah, I definitely think Old Waverly plays to a lower handicap. I think it's more of just a target golf. You got to be able to, especially on the front, you kind of got to hit through some chutes. It doesn't really give you a whole lot of room to lose one anywhere. Par threes are tough out there. Like I think Old Waverly kind of plays to a lower handicap, whereas Mossy Oak, as long as you stay out of the bunkers, I think you're fine. Like you got plenty of room to spray it. You just got to stay out of those bunkers.
I think it's just a bit of an example or a microcosm of the conversation that we just had with Clay about Park Mammoth, right? Old Waverly is more – it generally, in my experience, is a little bit wetter. A little bit more target style. You can't fake it around there. Or Mossy, you can get some good bounces. You can get some good mm-hmm. kicks. A little bit drier. A little bit more room to miss it. So, yeah, I don't think that that's a bad take at all. And I think that sets it up really well for our format where Friday we show up. A few of us will play a little practice 9 at Mossy, go to the baseball game. Your LSU Tigers is going to beat the hell out of my Mississippi State Bulldogs. I'm sure we are awful. But, yeah, then we'll have a fun night putting, stuff like that. Go out the next morning, first thing in the morning, and play Old Waverly. I mean, first thing in the morning. That'll be the competition round for Saturday. So that will be team total of net Stableford points, not quota. So you get your strokes, however many points you can rack up, combine that with your other teammate. The top two advance to the finals match. Go so on and so forth, third and fourth playing a match, fifth and sixth playing a match. And so should be exciting to see how Old Waverly shapes up for Sunday's finals matches back at Mossy Oak. And I said we were going to Mossy Oak on Saturday after we play Old Waverly. I misspoke. We're going to the Mississippi State Golf Course.
Oh, okay.
Play nine holes there because they have a tournament over at Mossy. So I'm excited to go play MSU. I love that place.
For those of you going who haven't been, get the breakfast burrito from Mossy Oak. It's so good.
Good call.
I mean, that was my takeaway from that play. Like, the cabins were sick, but just made my morning with that breakfast burrito.
I'm really looking forward to getting back in the cabin. I feel like it's almost now, especially since we stayed at Mossy once, but it's very much like just going back to a place that you're comfortable and you can just kind of like throw your stuff and you're like back home almost, or like at your vacation home. Very much looking forward to that, all the night putting and stuff that we're going to do. So thank you to everybody who's gotten involved with that event. We'll talk a little bit about it more next week. Not sure exactly what next week's pod is going to look like because Ben and Aaron will be down here earlier in the week. Maybe we have them on, do a little bit of a deeper dive preview into the golf courses. Who knows? We might have something different altogether, but still plenty to talk about on this episode of Dialed In as the PGL popped off at the Farmers Cup. I mean, I hand up everything going on in my life. No social media clip last week for what was, I think, one of the most entertaining pods that we've had. Like, that was, I really enjoyed listening back to it every time that I did. So hand up there. But what are your impressions week and change off of that, now seeing some of these matches taking place at the Farmers Cup?
Well, I mean, you got it kind of feels like the way this is going to be going is that since there's no deduction in points for losing, you just don't like that. This is going to be structured where you want to get involved as much as you can, play as much as you can, try and rack up as much points as you can. So we saw that with D-Ball and the Wrecking Balls played in 9 matches, picking up 7.5 points. So they're leading. And then you got Top Gun played in 8 matches, got 6. Dirty Mike and the boys, Kreider with a really good showing at the Farmers Cup, played in 5 matches and got 4.5.
Those were just 3 owners that balled by themselves. Mm-hmm. And so their teams followed their lead. You like to see that.
Then Natty Daddies, JT went out there, played in 2 matches, won them both, got 2 points. Locomotives played in 9 matches, only got 2 points out of that. But
with the format.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's to no detriment to play more. Like, it doesn't hurt you.
If I was Lane, seeing where the Wrecking Balls and Top Gun stand, I would think, all right, I need to get out ahead of them in terms of how many matches I've played so that at the end, I'm rolling some of these off and I'm not getting caught. Is that kind of how you view that?
Yeah,
that
would be strategy, yeah. And when you have an event where, say, you do get 3 of your team members in it, you got to take advantage of it. Mm-hmm. Like, you've got to try and play as many matches as possible, I would think. Mm-hmm. And then you've got Prometheus played in 3 matches and have 1 point. So that's your standings after one event. I know down at Mossy Oak, Jackson will be there.
Yeah, sounds like you challenged me
and Will
with everything there. I'm sure Lane.
And Lane, yeah. All 3. Jackson's going to wheel all y'all.
Okay. In every round?
Every tournament round.
Every tournament round. Okay.
Or like competitive round. Like when y'all are out doing practice and rounds.
Nine-hole rounds.
And like, you don't have to do that. All right. Competitive round.
All right. Yeah, I'm sure we'll have a lot going on down there. But also, sounds like there's some other stuff going on down in Alabama, kind of a big split jackpot, it might seem like. Some guys going to Hoover, some guys going to Limestone, but some stuff going down there. And that's what we wanted out of the PGL. And I know that part of it is just the weather and how things are developing right now. But I truly think that, you know, this is kind of what we wanted to see. We wanted to see some of these guys getting together, more incentivized to go out and compete with each other, especially in a format that we talked about with Clay being match play, that we get better through it.
We are the best. I mean, our own competition. Like, we push each other. Yeah. and we talk about that with Clay, but everything we do sort of tailors it towards playing regionals, playing nationals, and going out and beating the other Roosts. That's why, I mean, we take that stuff serious. I mean, it sounds silly, but yeah, we take that shit serious.
There's no reason that you can't have fun and be prepared, right? Yeah. So, like, we try to do both, and I think that when you're prepared, it's a whole lot of fun, isn't it? But we haven't been as prepared as we need to be, and so that's why we're making these small changes like the PGL. So thank you to everybody who is getting involved with that. But we've alluded to it several times, talked about it with Clay. The High Cotton Classic, I don't know how much there is to dive into, but I felt the need to talk about it because registration is winding down. We're very, very close. 14 guys registered in Tennessee. Not everybody paid, but 14 guys registered. I think 12 down in Alabama. Not everybody paid, but registered. We're close to these fields of 16. We just need a few more guys to jump in, and we'll be ready to go. I mean, the first order of gifts I pick up when this pod is out, I will have them in hand.
I mean, come on. We have to be able to find two more guys to make a field of 16. This is where you make a name for yourself in the High Cotton Classic. This is the signature event. This is it. I mean, this is how you prove if you're a dog or not. I mean, it's where I started. So surely we can find two more people.
And this is the last time that it's going to look like this. I mean, the fall is going to look completely different. If you want the swag, like what's laid out in front of us, like these great High Noon koozies, you know, the classic stuff that is just, it's the best stuff that we do. And this edition is maybe the best edition that we've ever done. So take advantage of the opportunity ahead of you. Yeah, I think that's all that we have to say about that. Just really imploring people to make this 7th edition a special one so that we can kind of go out of this era of the classic with a bang.
Yeah, I mean, with the Jack Daniels logo, and I mean, it, the swag's going to be really good.
So Devro asked, we, you know, put out that story on Instagram, and that, you know, hand up. Sometimes I don't highlight myself. I love that picture that Caitlin took of me. So I did. I posted a picture of myself for the story this week. Shout out Golden Bell Photography. Been absolutely crushing it for us and is going to keep crushing it in the future. But Devro wanted to know, how can he get one of those hoodies? Sorry, brother. You got to get involved. Hashtag.
Yep.
Get involved.
I don't get one either, Devro. I already asked.
It's one of those perks, you know. I'm trying to find out a funny way to put it, and I think I'm just kind of striking out. I'm pretty worn out. But I will say, like, I try to put a little bit of an excitement and incentive into these events with stuff like this. And so it's tough to do an extra run of merchandise when I get stuck with that, or I have gotten stuck with that so much in the past, and we're trying to make it an event like exclusive to incentivize those guys to participate. So I really appreciate the feedback. I wish that I could help you. It just is one of those things that, you know, where I'm coming from with this, right?
Yeah. I mean, we can't just order one or two of them. Like it needs to be a event specific, you know, piece of merch.
So when we're telling you, like you said, you loved that, when we're telling you to sign up for the classic because the swag is going to be great, trust us. I mean, when was the last time I missed on swag?
I can't think of any. I'm looking at all of this right here.
That's MLB Hall of Fame.
I still think this needs to be paint filled.
Yeah. Well, that was almost threw D-ball under the bus. that was D-ball's order. But I think I should paint fill it because it was a great, great idea. D-ball well executed. I feel bad for throwing him under the bus. I chucked him right under there.
It makes sense.
I was the straw for D-ball today. We'll talk about that in a minute. But real quick, Devro also wants to ask, how are PGL points won, lost, gained, lost?
Yeah, so every time you get a team member involved in a match. It's 1 point for singles, 2 points for four ball. Mm-hmm. It's basically 1 point for every person.
You win.
I don't think we really like input like any other type of formats, but it would still work the same. Like if you had alt shot, it would be still 2 points.
So. Alt shot is still 2 points. It's four balls and foursomes are 2 points. That's it. We could get a little bit crazier like we did with the classic, but I think simple is best with this.
Yeah, with this being the first kind of run of it, you kind of just want to make it as simple as possible, and then we can adapt after that. It's always a work in progress.
Speaking of adapting, I think it's safe to say we will be expanding from that 25 match limit, considering Turley and Top Gun.
You both got nine in.
Yeah, Turley and Top Gun are, what, a third of the way complete, and they're in second place with how many matches they've
completed. But we don't have that many. We only have two more events.
Yeah, but our next season also doesn't really start till August. So, like, we could run this through July, and it wouldn't take away, like, you know, when we don't have any events in July because we're doing the regional and preparing for that, people are on vacation. This is something that could keep people engaged. And so if we expand maybe 40 matches, I think that's maybe a comfortable number, 40, 50, something like that. We'll work on that. We're letting you guys, the listeners and the viewers of Dialed In, behind the scenes.
Yeah, so don't act surprised, beers.
Speaking of beers, we will have logos debuting for the PGL teams very soon. It's taking a little bit of time, but we have everybody's concepts together, so we'll get those put together. And I'm excited for people to see their team's logos and get a little bit more, like, maybe allegiance behind it through that.
Yeah, I think you got to have some kind of branding. You got to brand it, man.
You know, I'm all about the brand, buddy. All right, let's get into some life advice. Is it okay if I lead us out?
Yeah, go ahead.
I've had some weird energy. You pointed it out from the moment you pulled up. I was in my sling blade impersonation. Logan Doris and I used to do that. I haven't done that in, I don't know, maybe almost 10 years. I don't know where that came from. It's been a weird, weird 10 days or so for me. And today I hit my breaking point. Won't talk about the exact situation because past sponsor, hopefully a future sponsor, but trucks at the dealership. It's been there for, today is the 24th business day that it's been there. So you guys can do the math. Stu acutely pointed out that's more than a month. That's a fact. But anyways, they called me, tell me my truck's ready. I go up there. It's not. So I spend about three and a half hours out of my day, which is precious time right now, especially going up there, getting disappointed, and then waiting for my ride to come back and get me because I had done some things while I was up there and my ride was back in White House by the time I found out. So, bunch of waste of time. I was frustrated. I was angry. And it was just the straw that broke the camel's back. And I actually texted Gervais and I told him, I haven't forgotten about today's content. Straw just broke camel's back. Bad day. I'll get it taken care of. And he had a typo back to me. And I didn't know what he was talking about. I didn't know what he meant. But he said, start caring, C-A-R-I-N-G. Start caring, you camel. And I read that like half a dozen times. And I was like, start caring, you camel. Start caring. Start carrying your camel. Like, all right. So when the straw breaks the camel's back, you know what David Goggins would do? David Goggins would put that camel on his back and he would carry the camel to water. He'd carry the camel wherever the camel needed to go. If he's going to carry the boats, he'd carry the camel. So when the straw breaks the camel's back, put that camel on your back and get to where you need to go. Get your shit together. Do whatever you need to do. I was in a place where I was dejected. I was depressed. And now I'm pissed off. I'm fired up. I'm ready to go attack. I'm ready to beat this day. It's 8:20. I got hours left to work. I'm energized. I'm ready to go. You know why? Because the camel's back is broke. And it needs to get to where it needs to go to. I'm the one to put it there. On my back. My skinny little back. What you got to say about that, Stu?
I like that.
Follow that up. Nobody's going to watch this point where I just sacrificed my computer to throw my pen at it. Nobody's going to watch that. I did that for a little clip, but you know what? I'm fired up.
Well, my quote is, the pen that broke the computer's back. The difference between a problem and a challenge is your mentality.
Mm.
An elephant sees a lion and thinks run. A lion sees an elephant and thinks lunch. Mm. All it is mentality. So have a good mentality.
Mm. I like that. I like that.
So good. Put that camel on your back.
You know what Wiz Khalifa would say?
What? We got to get out of here.
We got to get out of here. Thank you all for tuning into this episode of Dialed In, the podcast by the High Cotton Club. We'll see you next time.
Rich, some guys like it quiet. Some guys like it loud. This is...
You know, the gator needs to look like he needs some exercise. I don't know.
Of course, the conditions now that he has to play the shot test anyone.
Yeah, look at this, Peter. Look at this shot. Look at this. Michael Ann. It is in.
Oh, he's running after it. He ran after it. He got there before the ball did.
I don't believe it.
How about that? I've never seen him do that.
You knew he would. You knew he would.
They've come a long way together, Jim, those two. It's a great story.